Several miles off the main highway, tucked away in a secluded canyon on prime vineyard property, stands a rustic barn that was built many decades before the vines around it were planted. In that barn, a sophisticated broadcast and recording studio has been built. The barn also has a well-hidden root cellar stocked with many of the world's most exceptional wines, only to be shared with guests who secretly come to offer their insights and tell their stories. Guests are sworn to secrecy and are shuttled to the studio aboard a John Deere tractor. Those who cannot make the journey in person are interviewed by satellite hookup, and sometimes the crew simply sneaks away with microphones in hand and interviews guests in barrel rooms, wine cellars, and other magical places. All of this is done like clockwork every single week, so that we can bring you another episode of Grape Encounters Radio.
And you've waited all week, and it's time for your Grape Encounter. It's David Wilson here, your host, coming from the super secret location. And it's Grape Encounters Radio, and we have so much to share with you today. But I wanted to start by talking a little bit about clubs. You know, I have never been a joiner. I am not a member of the Rotary or the Elks or the Masons or anything like that. I just don't like going to meetings. I don't like being on committees. And sometimes I just don't really enjoy some of the other people that are in the organization. So I'm not a joiner. But there is an exception, and that is wine clubs. I am a member of so many wine clubs. Now, I'll tell you, there's one thing that I do love about wine clubs, and that is that you don't have to go to meetings where you get fined for doing things like, you know, taking the foil off the bottle improperly, or drinking out of the bottle, or heaven forbid, drinking out of the wrong glass. But I have to say that lately, I've been quitting a bunch of them, and it's mostly because they send me things that I didn't want. Like, they'll start sending me whites when I only asked for reds, or they start repeating wines over and over again because they don't have a wide enough selection of product to keep it interesting. So I quit those clubs. Now, there is one club that doesn't do that, and they're an interesting organization. They were started back in 1972. They were the original Wine of the Month Club. Such an interesting organization, and it is run by Paul Callum Carrion Jr. The organization was started by his dad back, as I said, in 1972, and they are going strong. It's just a very, very interesting story about this iconic wine club, the big daddy of them all, and Paul Jr. is going to be on with us a little bit later. I am so excited to talk to him. He is so much fun. And at the end of the show, we're going to have a guy by the name of Ross Rankin, and he is responsible for what I think is the sexiest wine label out there today from Imagine Wines. So we're going to get into that a little bit and talk about it. But before we do, there are a couple things I wanted to mention to you. Again, there's two events going on out at Catalina Island. One that takes place on Saturday, September 18th. It's an evening in the garden, and it's going to be out at the Wrigley Memorial and Botanical Garden. It's put on by the Avalon Rotary, and it'll feature the wines of the Roussac Vineyards. Terrific wines and great food. And if you're interested, you go to AvalonRotary.org and check this out. It's open to the public. It's worth going to the island for. But even after that, there's another wine-related event. It's a big event with over 70 prestigious wines on Saturday, September 25th. It's the 15th annual wine festival put on by the Catalina Island Women's Forum, and this is going to be a great event out by the casino looking over the beautifully redesigned Descanso Beach. It's just going to be a great event, so check out what's going on Catalina. You can go to catalinachamber.com for more information about that. Now, we do have one more guest that we're going to have on the show today. It's Tristan Johnson, and the brand manager for morewinemaking.com. We're doing this series on home winemaking, and even if you're not interested in making wine, you got to listen in because you're going to learn so much about the process. Tristan is a real expert. We've got him on the line now, and it's just a couple of minutes of really intense knowledge. So Tristan, what are we talking about today?
Well, Dave, this week I wanted to talk about the malolactic fermentation process, which is used on most red wines and actually a couple of different white wines normally as well.
I think this is a really important segment that we're doing because people always hear the term malolactic fermentation, but I'm guessing that probably 1 in 100 really know what that means.
It's not something that's talked about a lot outside of the actual winemaking community. But what malolactic fermentation is actually the use of a very special species of bacteria to consume the malic acid that's naturally present in the wine or in the grape juice and convert it to lactic acid. And what this does is two different things that are both really beneficial for the wine. On the one hand, the malic acid has a very sharp flavor profile and taste to it, whereas lactic acid is quite soft, so it rounds the wine out. And secondly, just like the yeast produce their own range of flavors and aromas and contributions to the mouthfeel of the wine, the malolactic bacteria do the exact same thing. So you're getting added complexity, you're softening and rounding the wine, and you're getting a new range of complementary flavors and aromas coming out of this process.
How significant is the change?
It's pretty notable. It's one of those things that's a lot easier to show than to describe, but you ask any experienced winemaker and they'll tell you, first of all, it's a pretty pronounced change, and secondly, an experienced winemaker can actually smell and taste the wine and know that it's going through the malolactic process, which is really interesting because there's a whole range of flavors and aromas that the bacteria produce when they're going through the process that are very distinct, and then they don't stick around in the wine. So.
Now, can it go through the process naturally?
In fact, most of the time, unless you're actively trying to prevent it, the wine will go through that process naturally. The malolactic bacteria, just like yeast and like Acetobacter, the vinegar-causing bacteria, they're present in the air around us all the time, on our bodies, on the things that we come in contact with. And so unless you're taking very active steps to prevent the wine from going through ML, it's going to go through.
So how do you prevent the process from happening?
Well, there are a couple of advantages that regular white wines have, which are their natural acidity. The malolactic bacteria are very sensitive to pH, as well as the lower temperatures that you normally are fermenting and aging these wines at. But the other main weapon in the winemaker's arsenal is, in fact, sulfite.
So this bacteria, to introduce it, it's not very expensive, right?
It depends on the amount of wine you're making. Again, it actually can be fairly expensive to use commercially produced strains. We're talking for a barrel of wine, $25 to $35, which in the range of other additives and ingredients that you use in the winemaking process.
That is fairly expensive, yeah.
Yeah, it's at the upper end. The reason that we use cultured malolactic bacteria rather than just letting the wine go through a wild ML are twofold. First of all, we have a guarantee that the aromas and flavors that are going to be produced are good ones because these strains that have been cultured are going through literally years and years worth of trials and tastings by very, very experienced winemakers and biochemists and people who do this, you know, specifically for a living.
Right.
The other thing is that you get a certain amount of guaranteed robustness. As I mentioned, the malolactic bacteria are very sensitive to pH, to high amounts of acidity. They're also very sensitive to sulfite, very sensitive to temperature. They're a little bit temperamental. And so you definitely want to be working with a bacteria that's going to give you the best chance of getting through the fermentation quickly and completely, especially because due to the sensitivity to sulfite, you can't add the sulfite to your wine after pressing until after you go through the malolactic process, which means that the wine is a little bit susceptible until you're finished with that.
Well, I hate to say it. Guess what? That's it for this segment. Again, if you want more information, go to morewinemaking.com. Look for the free winemaking manuals there. You can download them. They're very interesting, and they're very free, and you just got to check it out. It's a great site. And Tristan Johnson, we appreciate you being here. We're going to be back next week with more.
That's right.
And we've got tons more to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. And be sure to check out all of our past episodes and photographs and links and so much more at grapeencountersradio.com.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
you know wine and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
We so appreciate you listening to Grape Encounters Radio, and recently we put a request out to our Facebook friends asking them to make suggestions for future topics on Grape Encounters Radio. And I must tell you, we got some amazing ideas, but we're looking for even more. So if you've got some ideas that you'd like to share with us about things that we can talk about on the air, just go to our Facebook page and join the Grape Encounters Radio group page. Make your suggestions there, or you can go to grapeencountersradio.com and find the link to our email and drop us a line. We really would like to know what you'd like us to talk about. Again, all you need to do is go to grapeencountersradio.com, find the email link, and drop us a line. We can't wait to hear from you. You can also contact us on Facebook at the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook page.
What if you're looking for a second home in the mountains with a wine cellar in it? Who would you call? That's an easy one. Lynn B. Wilson and Associates. If you're looking for a very special second home in nearby Lake Arrowhead, the real estate experts at Lynn B. Wilson and Associates have listings to show you that will take your breath away. Lynn B. Wilson & Associates specializes in stunning lakefront properties and secluded retreats that offer exclusive comforts. So if you're looking for a mountain residence with a wine cellar, a recording studio, a workout room, or a home theater, we know just what to show you. But we do more than sell the most sought-after properties in the Lake Arrowhead area. We also have a wide selection of modestly priced, beautifully appointed properties for your consideration. From cottages to castles, nobody knows mountain property like Lynn B. Wilson and Associates. You can reach Lynn B. Wilson and Associates at 909-337-2080. That's 909-337-2080. Or log on to Lake Arrowhead Homes and Estates.com. That's Lake Arrowhead Homes and Estates.com.
And it's more Grape Encounters Radio coming to you with David Wilson. And I have a very, very special guest on the line this segment. I'm very excited about this interview, I have to tell you. And mostly because I have been a member of so many different wine clubs over the years. Most of those have been clubs that originate from various wineries. And if you are a member of a winery's wine club, then you probably suffer from the same frustrations that I suffer from, which is that after about the second or third shipment, you start getting the same darn thing over and over and over again. And even if you just specify that you only want red wines, you end up getting whites or things that you really do not want, and you end up giving those away and spending a lot of money. And then eventually, out of frustration, you get your shipment and you just cancel that membership. I think I'm down to about three memberships now, but at its height, I think I had memberships in probably, I don't know, maybe 20 different clubs. But this whole wine club concept began back in the early 70s with the one and only original Wine of the Month Club, except no substitutes. It started right here in California, and it was the brainchild of Paul Kalamkarian Sr., and now carrying the torch is Paul Jr., who we've got on the line. Hey, Paul, thanks for joining us. This is such an exciting topic to speak about here on Grape Encounters Radio.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be involved with your show and have a chance to talk to you about kind of the originations of wine in the mail.
I mean, you guys are absolutely the iconic wine club. It was the very first Wine of the Month Club. I know there have got to be just literally thousands of impersonators, right?
Well, you know, flattery, imitation is the best form of flattery. We've, interestingly enough, there probably was some attempt at this prior to my father's success in it, but once we got started, we pursued it, and of course, been around now for 38 years. And our premise, which is a totally completely different than any other premise out there, because for years and years and years, we really were the only ones, is not to sell more bottles of wine, but to aid the consumer in finding good values with that sea of wine on the shelves of the markets.
Yeah. It's hard to navigate, isn't it? I mean, you know, if you go back to, what was it, 1972, when you guys started the club, there wasn't that conundrum of wines out there, but now it's a real tangle, isn't it?
Well, I was responsible for the wine at my in-laws' reunion not too long ago in Palm Springs, and I forgot. And so here I am at the market in Palm Springs looking for wines to serve. And I have the same issues that any consumer has. I go to the shelf, I'm looking at the prices, I'm looking at the labels, and really if I haven't tasted the wine, how would I know?
Yeah, exactly.
Some reputation.
So how cool to follow in your father's footsteps. Now, my dad sold forklifts, you know, not nearly as colorful. as having a dad that was deep into wines. He wasn't, but he was a wine purveyor, wasn't he, before starting the club?
Yes. And by the way, I think material handling is a very sexy romantic. I love that stuff. But anyway,
it's a very heavy subject. But yes. Anyway, sorry. It's got its ups and downs, though, I'll tell you.
Oh, that's, okay, now you're really, that's very good, though.
Okay, so we're going to Palos Verdes, right? This is where it all starts?
My dad was a pharmacist by trade, came to this country in the 40s, was given a job by USC, and started a small chain of pharmacies. And his last purchase in the late 60s when he bought a pharmacy was came with a liquor store that really was sort of ice and booze at the time, but had a passion for wine. And actually at that time, probably before 1970, became one of the premier wine shops in Southern California. To the point where the Chateau Montelena, the Barrett family, were customers and neighbors of ours. Dave Stair of Dry Creek Vineyards used to hand deliver his wines from up Sonoma. So he started to realize that it was kind of more fun to hang out in the wine shop because everybody was happy coming in there than it was at the pharmacy because everybody was sick and ailing. And so he started spending more time at the wine shop and eventually sold all his pharmacies and focused on wine and the wine club. And that's how it started.
So did the pharmacy go away?
It did. It eventually was sold to the pharmacist that ran it for him. And my dad was, you know, he'd been in retail for 30 years at that point, so he was, you know, pretty tired of the pharmacy side of it and just decided that he wanted endeavor in wine. And he had a great palate, being a chemist by trade and a pharmacologist, a pharmacognoscent. Well, I always get that wrong. The study of plant medicine is what he did.
Yeah.
He had a great palate for determining flavors and flaws and things in wines.
So, but it was a different world, of course, in the 1970s because the popularity of wine then versus now, it was really night and day. I mean, people were really just beginning to explore, comparatively speaking, weren't they?
Yes, you know, I used to stock the shelves, and you know, we had Matus,
right,
Ola, Valpolicella,
Blue Nun, and
all those wines,
Cracklin Rosé, and stuff like that.
Absolutely, Wente Blanc de Blanc was a big seller of ours at the time.
Chablis were the big thing, weren't they? Back in the early 70s, isn't that what people were mostly drinking from at least the United States?
We had the first. If you want, you know, Gallo Chablis, of course, was a big seller, a 1.5 liter with a screw cap. When screw caps were considered, you know, a bad thing, the wines were not considered very good. But then my dad's first selection in May of 1972 were two Chablis, French Chablis, and they were $6.95.
Oh, so, well, that's a pretty high price for that time period, I think.
It certainly was.
And it's interesting that the Chablis are coming back now, aren't they?
Yes. Well, you know, the French, now that the euro's gotten a little softer. Some of the French wines are more accessible to the general American palate because they've been very expensive lately.
Hey, folks, if you're just joining us, this is an interview we've been looking forward to for a long time on Grape Encounters Radio. It's Paul Callum Carrion Jr., who runs the one and only, the original Wine of the Month Club, started by his dad back in 1972. And this is, Paul, this is a huge business now, right? How many members do you guys have?
Well, we're shipping 500,000 bottles a year.
Oh, my gosh.
Membership fluctuates. It's tens of thousands. And one of the things that we noticed recently, too, is a lot more red-only. So you mentioned that earlier in your intro. A lot of people are asking for reds-only. And I find that very interesting because ever since the 1990 release of the Mediterranean Lifestyle on 60 Minutes, you know, red wine sales have shot through the roof, and they've never subsided. And I'm seeing a lot more applications come through on the web that are asking for red wine-only.
Well, I think that's true. I mean, I have very few white wine friends, and of course, you know, we all like drinking white wine, but I mean, red wines are just so doggone interesting, and sure. There's such an amazing variety of them. So tell me how you go about choosing wines for the club. I think you have actually, three different programs?
At three levels. Our Fighting Varietal Classic Series, we call it, is $19.95 for two bottles, plus shipping is around $8. And the second level is $29.95, and the third level is $39.95. Now, back when my dad invented the idea of the limited series, which was our collectible sort of premier series, you know, $20 a bottle was a pretty big number. So now it's not as big a number, and the wines are more accessible. But the quality of the wine right now, that's because of... I can say it's a glut, not like in the late mid-90s when there was so much wine on the market, but the quality has gone up for sure for the same price. And because what's happened is there's been a little pullback at the restaurants. Wine sales aren't as high, and if you bought two bottles before, you get one, and if you got a bottle, you got a glass now with the economy the way it is. So there's a lot of juice that's sitting on the warehouse floor. It needs to get moved out because the stuff's coming out of the tank from the last vintage, and it's got to get bottled, and there's no room to put it. So we're seeing a lot of really good wine.
And there's just some great buys out there in general. I know we talk periodically to our friend Wes Hagen, who a couple of times has pointed out the great buys in Merlot's right now, really much cheaper than they used to be. And I've been preaching Chilean cabs recently because it seems like no matter which ones I try, at around $15 a bottle, you can buy yourself something pretty respectable. But there's a lot of that, isn't there?
You're right on with the Chilean wines. I mean, even Argentina now, too, there's some world-class wines coming from there that are very reasonable. You know, I don't know, maybe you feel the same way, but just because a playwright wrote some negative comment about Merlot in a movie that became sort of iconic, you know, Merlot got clobbered, and I don't understand why. It's excellent wine, and it's, you know, the base of one of the most expensive wines in the world, Chateau Petrus. In fact, Petrus is 100% Merlot. And so we get to take advantage of that because you're right. Merlot is excellent value right now, and there's no reason not to be drinking them except for somebody felt like touting Pinot Noir.
I don't know, you know, and I've heard so many stories about the effect of the movie Sideways on Merlot, and I'm not sure I completely buy it. I think there may be another alternative explanation as to why the wine took a dump, but it's...
that could be true, I don't know.
You know, but it's sort of the easy explanation, and, you know, you're a marketing guy, you know, I think the varietal needs to be marketed again because it is, it's absolutely terrific and doesn't deserve what it's getting right now.
We just featured in one of our specials. I do a lot of emails. So one of the things I do, and you asked the question earlier, I never really answered it, which is how do we select the wines? Well, we get wines from all over the world sent here. On Tuesdays, vendors, winemakers, wineries, sales reps are allowed to come in every 15 minutes and taste me on whatever they have. And we do that. Actually, we did that live on Ustream yesterday, which was a little cumbersome, but got through it. So we'll average about 65 to 75 wines on a Tuesday, and then we go to trade tastings. But I did so I find wines that sometimes there's only 100 cases came to the country, maybe 200 cases. We just did a wine from Corinto, which is an Argentinian Merlot, and it was extraordinary. And I was able to sell it, if you can believe this, for $4.99. And we sold thousands and thousands of bottles very quickly. But, you know, if I get a really good buy like that, it landed here, the guy needs to get it off the dock, get it moved. I really like it. I put it out on Facebook, I put it on an email special, and we move it quite quickly, and it was great, and it's a great Merlot.
There's no question there's some great buys out there, great bargains out there. And we've got tons more to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. And be sure to check out all of our past episodes and photographs and links and so much more at grapeencountersradio.com.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines of security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at CatalinaVacations.com.
We so appreciate you listening to Grape Encounters Radio, and recently we put a request out to our Facebook friends asking them to make suggestions for future topics on Grape Encounters Radio. And I must tell you, we got some amazing ideas, but we're looking for even more. So if you've got some ideas that you'd like to share with us about things that we can talk about on the air, just go to our Facebook page and join the Grape Encounters Radio group page. Make your suggestions there, or you can go to grapeencountersradio.com and find the link to our email and drop us a line. We really would like to know what you'd like us to talk about. Again, all you need to do is go to grapeencountersradio.com, find the email link, and drop us a line. We can't wait to hear from you. You can also contact us on Facebook at the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook page.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
At Grape Encounters Radio, we would love to help support your wine-related event. In past weeks, we've supported the Chardonnay Symposium, which was a major hit, and we also supported the Cellar Classic, which set a record by raising over $100,000 in that rare wine auction. We, of course, also have been involved with a couple of events over at our friends Sarlos & Sons, which have been major hits, so we'd like to help you as well. If you have an event that you'd like us to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio, you can contact us through the website at grapeencountersradio.com and just let us know what you've got going on, or find us on Facebook at the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook group page. All you have to do is search for Grape Encounters Radio and you'll find us there along with a very big fan base. We really appreciate all of you who've joined our group page at Grape Encounters Radio. Back with more Grape Encounters Radio. David Wilson here, and we are talking wine clubs with really the grand poobah of the wine club directors. It's Paul Kalamkarian from the original Wine of the Month Club, and this is not a commercial, by the way, for Wine of the Month Club. They're not paying me anything to talk about them, although you know probably should, Paul. What a plug! But you guys are fascinating. I mean, this thing starts out as just a I guess an experiment by your father back in 1972. How quickly did it grow?
Very slowly, actually. What it was is started really when I mentioned that we wanted to select wines for our consumers that came into the store. My dad was a little tired of walking between the pharmacy and the wine shop to help customers. So he said, you know, I'm just going to pick two values each month, put them out there. Well, the panel that picked them then were doctors that supported his pharmacy trade. And my job as a youngster was to go upstairs in the attic, prepare in brown bag a bunch of wines. There's about 12 guys would come every Thursday, I think it was. And they would taste and select the wines, and that's how we did it in the beginning.
So these were blind tastings?
They were blind tastings, and we do exactly the same thing now, except I do it on Tuesdays instead of Thursday, and they're not brown bagged because we think we can get past that. But
So let me interrupt. Who is the panel that does the tasting now?
Well, I have, it's me.
It's you, okay.
Basically, though I have guests come, and I do have a wonderful woman, Elizabeth Schweitzer, who's an MS, Master Sommelier, that one of eight women in the world that helped me off-site when we do trade tastings. But and the reason that I think this is more important, because there's a lot of clubs, there's a lot of panels. You know, I love reading the expert panels selecting the wines. Well, that doesn't mean anything to me. If there's one guy that's tasting everything that now knows when you go to the market and has tasted all the $15 wines up there, they're better suited to make the judgment as to which ones have flaws and which ones don't and which one has the best value compared to the one next to it.
Right.
The panel can't do that, and who is the panel?
Right.
I'm prepared to take responsibility for my decisions and my selections to the point where every customer that I have has my email address and my phone number. They want to call and talk and talk about wine, we'll do it.
They can get directly to you.
Absolutely.
Wow, incredible. So now wines that you're distributing are coming from all over the world. How much of that is California?
Well, each month the blueprint should be a California wine and then an imported wine, and it flip-flops red and white. However, with the way things have been lately and the selections that I've been seeing, the blueprint's sort of broken down this last 12 months, but generally you're going to get 12 California wines a year and you're going to get 12 imported wines.
And we were talking about value from Chile and other places, certainly some isolated examples like Merlot where you can get some incredible buys. But in general, I think California wines have really come down in price, have they not?
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm afraid. I don't even know where to start sometimes when I make offers. I buy a lot of wine, so that's how I get the values. And I don't even know where to start sometimes, where I'm going to start the negotiation, because they say yes so fast, because they really have inventory they need to get moved, and the quality is so high.
I had a winemaker send me some wines recently, and I broke open a bottle of Syrah that sent me to my knees. It was so
That's
incredible.
Fun.
And I'm thinking, you know, $35, $38 maybe. And I actually got on the phone and called them because there was no pricing with it. I go, how much is this wine? And they go, $16.
Wow.
$16 is just incredible. And by the way, Syrah is a great place where you'll find value as well.
Absolutely. There's a lot of Syrah. It was planted. You know, the Spectator touted Syrah as the next big grape a few years ago, and it got a lot of vines were torn out and replaced with Syrah, and then there was a glut. But, you know, some of these wines that I feature and I see, and let's say that one there, I mean, it must have cost them almost $15 to make that Syrah.
Yeah, no doubt.
Store it, age it, tie up the money, pay the winemaker, you know. There can't be a whole lot of money at that point.
But I think it's like any other business. It's that as you go through these tough economic times, it's all about cash flow. You know, just keep the cash flowing and kind of wait it out, and it will come back.
No question.
So, folks, if you're just joining us, we have a very special guest on today. It's Paul Kalamkarian, Jr. His dad started the Wine of the Month Club. Paul runs it now. And tell me some of the wines that we might expect to see in the shipment if we join today.
Well, let's see. I've got a newsletter here in front of me. We featured Syrah Mourvèd from Gérard Bertrand. Gérard Bertrand is from the south of France. He was given winemaker of the year by the Wine Spectator last year. And he has made this, you know, in the south of France, you know, the last 10 years have really made a huge effort in quality instead of the jug area that it was originally sort of touted as. And these wines are gorgeous, smooth. The Syrah Mourvèdre, which I love Mourvèdre. You don't see a lot of it in California, and it's really good. I did a Syrah, since you were talking about that, from Two Angels. This is an 05, which, you know, it's very interesting you said that, too. There's a lot of 05 Syrahs on the market right now.
Yes, there is.
And I don't know why, because I get 07s, too, but I just tasted maybe eight 05s yesterday. Two Angels is made by Robert Pepe as the winemaker, who's from the famous family, Robert Pepe Jr. anyway. And that one was coming out at $16.95. The Gerard Bertrand is at $12.99. I did a Verdejo Rosan from Odisea, which is a domestic winery. And one of the great thrills I've been having lately is when I get a winemaker in that's touting his wares personally, I put them on camera, and we just taste on live. Well, not live, but we record it, and I just do a quick edit, and I put it up on our website. And it gives it the winemaker a chance to sort of tout his wares in front of, you know, a nice group of people. So,
and we're gonna link up, I think, to those videos if you don't mind, so that we can share some of that with our website visitors as well.
Happy to send you that link, and vice versa.
So let me ask you this question. You stumble upon a boutique winemaker who's making a very limited amount of wine. Will they find their way into the Wine of the Month Club, or do you have to be a big player to participate?
Oh, no. I look for those, absolutely. You don't need me to find Mondavi's, unless it's some of their smaller property, but Beringer, Chateau Saint-Michel, those wines aren't, you can buy them. I can recommend some of them for you if you're in the market and you want to, you know, find the better ones of those brands. But really, people are looking for an opportunity to try other things. And one of the things I really try to do is educate the consumer on the varietals that are out there. I mean, who would buy a Verdejo Roussan, you know, if I didn't send it to them, or it wasn't recommended by their wine shop proprietor? So we try to find things other than Chardonnay and Cabernet, you know, on a regular basis.
So tell me how you discover wines. Do you spend a lot of time traveling? Are you on the road a lot, or you get a lot of obviously a lot of wines sent to you to try?
Well, if you watch the five customers that got to watch the Ustream video yesterday,
the five customers. Okay.
Well, you know, we're just starting on the Ustream site. Part of the view of the camera is this table that's in my tasting room that was just piled with wines that come in through the mail. As well as these guys are traveling here on Tuesdays. But we do both. You know, most of it, of course, is sent to us via FedEx or UPS. We also travel to trade tastings. If I can go to a trade tasting where there's, I'll tell you my record, 162 wines in 3 hours.
And 162 wines in 3 hours.
When I was in my younger days.
That reminds me of a college party I once went to.
Yeah, Pepperdine, I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
So we do travel to the trade tastings, and my wife and I like to, we'll go to Europe, and we'll go to, though I have yet to get to South Africa, South America, which is really, really want to explore those territories.
So what's a Paul favorite right now, something that you've just stumbled onto, personal favorite, not necessarily a club favorite, that you've just wandered into and said, oh, this is to die for?
If I go home tonight after my gin martini, no, I'm teasing you. Actually, you know, I've said this before. On Tuesdays, when I taste so much wine, and then I'll get home and my wife will say, you know, I feel like a glass of wine. I'm like, gee, I really don't after all this. But if I was to open a bottle tonight, I have this Merlot from Angel's Secret. It's soft, it's round, it's layered in the middle with blueberries and all kinds of cassis, and it's got this long drying finish. It's just one of those wines I just gravitate towards. And there's another wine, if I was to go to Pinot Noir route, which I love, and they're harder to find that are any good, but there's a gal in Lompoc, Ampelos.
Uh-huh.
The work family, and she makes a completely biodynamic Pinot Noir, and you know the organic wines have been kind of goofy. You know they do have a different character, and this one's completely organic all the way through the process, and it's gorgeous. It's actually a gorgeous wine.
Talk to me about the popularity of Pinot for a second, because that seems to be a wine that, you know, no matter what, I'm seeing more and more and more of it, whether it's people bringing it to a dinner party, or I see more of it on wine lists at restaurants. I see more of it coming in wine club shipments. Is there a large surge, in your opinion, toward Pinot, or is it just my imagination?
No, you're right on, and whether this goes back to the sideways movie or not, part of it is, much like fashion, grape varietals go through popularity surges. You know, just like Syrah was popular, as we talked about, Pinot Noir is popular. And what happens is that the prices go up a little bit and the quality at the standard price levels goes down. So I have yet to have a Pinot Noir come through here in the last, let's say, 12 months that tasted like Pinot Noir, that was in a price range I thought was good value. The Zampalos isn't inexpensive, so but it's just interesting because it's biodynamic.
Well, it's a fussy grape to grow, and it's a hard wine to make a real good quality bottle, and I think the prices are certainly up there for the better Pinots. But I also wonder if a lot of the conversion of white wine drinkers to red that you're seeing are going the Pinot route because it's a softer, gentler wine than the Cabs and Syrahs that I'm drinking.
That makes a ton of sense. We did a tasting at our house Sunday for an orphan care fund, and I had one Pinot in the group, and I ran out of it.
Yeah, well, there you go. Hey, Paul, I hate to say it. Speaking of running out, we have just about run out of time. If you want to learn more about the Wine of the Month Club, we'll put a link on Grape Encounters Radio, and you can find your way there. Or online, you can go where?
WineOfTheMonthClub.com, and make sure you put the club in there. And then if you want to watch some of the videos that we talked about, there's WineOfTheMonthClub.tv.
Okay.
And I'm going to put up a special offer for Grape Encounter customers.
Oh, right on.
And you'll get a link through, and you put in, let's use the word encounter, and that'll be the promo code, and that'll get you some free stuff.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you can go to
wineofthemonthclub.com,
wineofthemonthclub.com, and you'll find the special Grape Encounter link there. That's very exciting. Hey, Paul, we have got to have you back on, not just one more time, but many more times, because there's so much more we got to talk about. But if you just jumped in a little bit ago and you didn't hear it, it's Paul Callum-Carrion, Jr., the, president now of the Wine of the Month Club, the original one, started back in 1972, the grand poobah of all wine clubs. And Paul, it's a super big pleasure to have you on Grape Encounters Radio. We want to have you back very, very soon.
Thank you so much, David. We'll be back, and don't forget to stop by here. There's always something open.
And we've got tons more to talk about on Grape Encounters Radio with David Wilson. And be sure to check out all of our past episodes and photographs and links and so much more at GrapeEncountersRadio.com.
What if you're looking for a second home in the mountains with a wine cellar in it? Who would you call? That's an easy one. Lynn B. Wilson and Associates. If you're looking for a very special second home in nearby Lake Arrowhead, the real estate experts at Lynn B. Wilson and Associates have listings to show you that will take your breath away. Lynn B. Wilson & Associates specializes in stunning lakefront properties and secluded retreats that offer exclusive comforts. So if you're looking for a mountain residence with a wine cellar, a recording studio, a workout room, or a home theater, we know just what to show you. But we do more than sell the most sought-after properties in the Lake Arrowhead area. We also have a wide selection of modestly priced, beautifully appointed properties for your consideration. From cottages to castles, nobody knows mountain property like Lynn B. Wilson & Associates. You can reach Lynn B. Wilson & Associates at 909-337-2080. That's 909-337-2080. Or log on to Lake Arrowhead Homes and Estates.com. That's Lake Arrowhead Homes and Estates.com.
You know wine, and you know quality. More Wine is the right choice for home winemaking supplies because they know quality too. Go to morewinemaking.com for the largest selection of equipment, supplies, and free information on making wine at home. Morewinemaking.com has winemakers on staff to assist you every step of the way, and they're committed to helping you make world-class wine at home. More Wine is the only company with professional quality wine yeast, additives, and nutrients so you can make wine like the pros. Visit their helpful and huge website today at morewinemaking.com. And if the best in service, equipment, ingredients, supplies, and free information isn't enough, More Wine gives you free shipping on most orders over $59. Step up to the highest quality and the best customer service in the business at morewinemaking.com. Put the best in your barrel from morewinemaking.com.
We so appreciate you listening to Grape Encounters Radio, and recently we put a request out to our Facebook friends asking them to make suggestions for future topics on Grape Encounters Radio. And I must tell you, we got some amazing ideas, but we're looking for even more. So if you've got some ideas that you'd like to share with us about things that we can talk about on the air, just go to our Facebook page and join the Grape Encounters Radio group page. Make your suggestions there, or you can go to GrapeEncountersRadio.com and find the link to our email and drop us a line. We really would like to know what you'd like us to talk about. Again, all you need to do is go to grapeencountersradio.com, find the email link, and drop us a line. We can't wait to hear from you. You can also contact us on Facebook at the Grape Encounters Radio Facebook page.
A tropical island vacation doesn't have to mean long lines at security, crowded flights, and a huge travel budget. You'll find breathtaking ocean views, tropical breezes, exceptional dining and shopping, plus hundreds of ways to have fun on land and sea, just 26 miles off the Southern California coast, on enchanting Catalina Island. And there's absolutely no better way to enjoy everything that Catalina has to offer than in your own private Catalina Island vacation rental. Catalina Island Vacation Rentals offers you the choice of nearly 200 island homes, cottages, and condos, including an amazing selection of beautifully appointed Hamilton Cove villas, which offer sweeping ocean views and even come with a golf cart. Savor a special glass of wine on your private balcony and let the magic of Catalina sweep you away. All Catalina Island Vacation Rental properties can be viewed online at catalinavacations.com. Make yourself at home with Catalina Island Vacation Rentals. You'll find your perfect island getaway at catalinavacations.com.
Oh, I love my rosy child. You got the way to make me happy.
And it's more Grape Encounters Radio. It's David Wilson here. And I wanted to talk for a little bit about a subject that we don't get into very much, but it is the subject of wine labels. Not very long ago, I had wandered into a nice wine shop, and I came upon a label that knocked my socks off. And it is from the Imagine Wine Company. And I'm not going to describe it just yet, but I will simply say it is one of the sexiest but most tastefully beautiful labels I have seen in a long time. And what I particularly liked about it was the word imagine, because that's something that we have all over the studio, that word, and imagination is what drives the show. And lo and behold, not very long ago, I got a message from the proprietor over at Imagine Wine, Ross Rankin, and it was in response to a question that we had put out. We were asking if people had interesting stories about how they had gotten into the wine industry and what they had done before that, and Ross had answered that. And Ross, we've got you on the phone, and it's time to talk about that label.
Hello, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, you were not always in the wine business. In fact, I guess you still have a second career, or maybe it's a first career.
Well, for the last 35 years, we have been in the medical supply business, and we got into wine about 10 years ago when I went to school locally here at the Hancock College.
Did you intend to do that? You didn't go to school for that, right?
No, actually, I have my original degree was in from the University of Oregon in philosophy. And I didn't intend to sell tongue blades either, but I got into that with my father, and it's been a relatively successful business over 35 years. We live in this beautiful valley of San Ynez, and there's so many opportunities here with the wine. I intended to get into it very slowly. Fortunately, in the wine business, that often doesn't happen, and we grew quite quickly, and now have a tasting room in San Ynez, and we market the wine really in Los Angeles and the Central Coast.
Now, I got a chance to go by the tasting room, and I just wanted to tell listeners it's an interesting place because it's not just a tasting room, but also an art gallery as well.
Actually, it's fine art. Everything in here is original art. Generally speaking, we have local artists. One of the reasons we got into it is my son, Blake Rankin, is a stone sculptor and has been for a number of years, and we have a number of his pieces in here, and we have other artists, for instance, Karina Puente, who is a local artist here that does very wonderful figures, particularly very strong Hispanic women. But it's a very nice environment to live in, and to have fine art as well as the wine.
They pair very well. But let's talk about this wine label of yours. So here's what happened. I actually bought several bottles of the wine, not even tasting the wine. And this is a first for me. I bought it for the label because the label was so good, and I had wanted to give some out for the holidays to some of my customers, you know, because we put Imagine all over everything. I thought this would be a perfect gift. Luckily, I did try one of the bottles myself, and it was really exceptional, so I felt pretty good about passing the wine around. But tell us about the label, the artwork on the label. I'll let you describe it, and then we've got a real fun story after that.
Well, the label came from one of our partners who owns a Malibu beach house. And I was sleeping there one night, and on the wall is this delightful painting. And it's a painting that was done by an artist named Genza Kende, who was born in the late 1800s and painted. He died in 1952. And this painting was given to my partner's parents about 50 years ago. And the painting, which is very unusual, is a nude. And most people who look at wine labels know that there are very, very, very few nudes on a bottle of wine. And we took a picture of it, and because I said I didn't think we would be able to get it through the regulatory process. But it's a very stylized, very beautiful. The woman is very demure. She is nude, but there are no specific parts that would probably offend anyone.
No, there's nothing showing, really.
Nothing showing, really, no. She is also holding up with her arm a string of pearls. And so even though the painting has never been, to our knowledge, was never named or never given a title, we call the painting Pearl because she's holding the pearls and because that seemed like an appropriate name for someone that was painted in 1940.
Yeah, it's got that very vintage World War II era look to it, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It's not so stylized that it would be like a Vargas or something of that sort. It's much more demure.
But hey, listen, so we only have a couple of minutes left here, but there's an interesting thing that occurred after you you labeled your wine with Pearl. You went on a hunt to try to find Pearl.
Yes, we did. A year or so ago, we had an event or a contest where we had different venues, people who retail our wine and wine bars and that sort of thing. We had a 40s-style event. We all dressed up in 40s outfits and had 40s music and advertised it. And women who looked like Pearl from the neck up were asked to come in, and it was pretty random. And they came in, we took pictures of them, and they went on to the Imagine website. And over a period of close to, I think it was 9 months or so, people voted for her and voted for their favorite Pearl. And we ultimately came up with, it was very interesting. People could have voted for their friends or, you know, rather than necessarily for the one that looked most like her. And ultimately, absolutely, they picked Jennifer, who won. And she is an absolutely beautiful woman who looks
uncanny resemblance. It really is. So we've got 1 minute left, and we're talking to Ross Rankin of the Imagine Wine Company and talking about this provocative wine label that has become their signature. And this woman, Jennifer, that actually is the wine label lookalike. And so the question is, can we get her on the show?
I think so. Jennifer does appearances for us periodically when we have events, and I'm sure she would be very much interested in coming in with me, and we can talk about the process. She's a delightful young lady.
Well, Ross, it's been nice talking to you. We will resume this conversation with Jennifer probably in the next couple of weeks. And in the meantime, if people want to see the label or learn more about your wines, they can go to where?
To our website, which is www.imaginewine.com, or we also have a Facebook page. They just search Imagine Wine and Art Gallery, and we have various different images on there also.
Okay, so what we're going to do on the Grape Encounters page is we're going to make our cover shot the Imagine Wine label for this week, and you can check it out there. Ross, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thanks very much, David. Appreciate it.
Well, it looks like the bottle is empty, at least for this episode of Grape Encounters Radio, but if you still need more of a fix, you can go to grapeencountersradio.com and you'll find a complete archive of every show since day one and lots of photographs to go with it. It's grapeencountersradio.com. We'll be back with a fresh new show next week.